When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Recovery Sort Of is a podcast where we discuss recovery topics from the perspective of people living in long-term recovery. This podcast does not intend to represent the views of any particular group, organization, or fellowship. The attitudes expressed are solely the opinion of its contributors. Be advised, there may be strong language or topics of an adult nature.
Welcome back. It's Recovery Sort Of. I'm Jason, a guy who has been to a convention.
And I'm Billy. I'm a person in long-term recovery.
And we're going to talk about conventions today, in case you hadn't picked that up already. Interestingly, doing a search on conventions, there was literally next to nothing. I mean, there's a lot of dates and times and scheduled conventions, but there was not much information on what goes on with a convention, how they work, why they work, what they are, what they do, if they're positive, if they're negative. I feel like I've had differing views over time in my recovery of what, you know, the drawbacks and positives are to them.
Yeah, and they seem to be governed by a whole other set of rules and things that are outside of what I understand of 12 steps and the traditions and things.
Right.
It's got its whole own hierarchy.
It's a little baffling. And so this topic came up because, you know, in the 12-step world, that some of the programs have conventions, which is, you know, large mass gatherings put on for people of that community and fellowship to come to. And I don't know that they started outside of the program itself, but they definitely have evolved to be entities that put on this that are technically outside of the program itself, which is a little confusing and hard to grasp, even for people who are in the program. I don't get it. So trying to explain this should be interesting. But they're just these kind of entities that exist. And so I guess maybe we should just talk about like what the convention is like. When you go there, a lot of conventions from my experience run from like Friday afternoon, evening-ish to Sunday afternoon. You'll show up. You register if you have not already, or if you've pre-registered for it, you just show up and, you know, get your stuff. You usually get this necklace with a name badge on it to prove that you're allowed to be there so you didn't sneak in. I guess that was a problem at some point.
Well, and which right away, you know, makes something different than most meetings. Like, you have to pay to get access. And some conventions will have exceptions to that. If you're a newcomer, you can get in for free, or they donate so many registrations. Lots of different variations. But in general, like, you have to you're supposed to pay to get access to this recovery event.
Right. And I'm glad they changed the terminology to like newcomer package, right? Because when I got here, it was the indigent package. And I'm like, what the fuck does indigent mean? I've never experienced that word
jail,
in my life.
They talk about being indigent in jail.
Yeah. There's some of that there. That's right. So, you show up and you're right. Yeah, you pay to get in, which is something you don't do at a typical meeting. Maybe that's why they had to become an outside entity, because they don't just allow people to walk in freely. Maybe that's where that all comes from. That would make sense. And so you show up, you do all that. There's meetings generally that go on at least every hour, depending on the size of the convention. Some conventions, I imagine, are so big that there's more than one meeting option per hour. And you know, they're held in different rooms. They usually hold these in convention centers, some smaller ones in hotels. Then Friday night, you'll have a main speaker. Saturday night, you have a main speaker. Sunday, a spiritual closed speaker that's kind of a main speaker, too. You know, a lot of the meetings have topics throughout the way, like you go to these meetings and it's like relationships in recovery, or, you know, the men's rap meeting, or whatever the topics tend
There's some
to be.
Very common themes that seem to be prevalent in almost every convention.
Yeah. What can I do? Like some of the topics from our literature.
Usually
stuff.
The steps. Right. And they'll combine them like steps 1 and 2 and steps 3 and 4.
Right. Right. So there's, you get handed a program and an agenda, what rooms these meetings are in. So that's generally what the convention is like. There's usually, a lot of congregation of people eating together at different places around or in the center where it's held at.
And the meetings aren't usually typical, like, meeting style. Usually there's a podium up front and there's a microphone or recording typically happens. And it's usually two people will share to take up all the time. There isn't usually free sharing or sharing from the floor. Although occasionally that happens, which always creates an awkward awkward dynamic.
Right, right. No, absolutely. And then, around the convention, there's usually some other rooms. There's like a souvenir room where, they might have the tapes and CDs from that convention or previous conventions you can purchase. They might have, memorabilia, merchandise from this particular convention or past conventions. Sometimes there's like an auction room where they're selling off old, I guess, historical, stuff from the program to make money or whatever. Is there other rooms? I feel like there is, but I can't think of anything else.
There's usually a hospitality room where they'll have refreshments,
coffee,
and stuff. Yeah, just a place to hang out in general.
Yeah, so it's a large gathering of people. They hold them at hotels or convention centers. There's some kind of discounted rate if you want to stay at, a place close to or where the convention is being held. So it's an interesting dynamic that is a break from, hey, there's a meeting 7 o'clock Thursday night. We're going to just show up and walk in, right? It's a very different vibe than that. So that's kind of what a convention is. And this came up as a possible topic because recently we found out that the World Convention, which at one point was every year, and now I think it's every 2 years or maybe even every 3 that they do it.
Yeah, I think they do it every other year, but it's in outside the U.S. and then inside the U.S.
Yeah, so it's very weird. And there's been some controversy over time about the World Convention. It's been held close to Baltimore, close to us. It's been held
in Philly,
right? Yeah. It's been held in D.C. since I've been around, I believe. I've heard of it on the West Coast a couple times.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I think they go East Coast, West Coast every other time that it's in the U.S.
I think when you have it in a really populated area, there's probably going to be a lot of people that attend. But I know some of the things that came up when they had one not too long ago in Brazil was that they lost a lot of money on it and this, that, and the other. And there was complaints of like, why do we do this if we're losing money? And then last year, it had to be postponed because of COVID, and they just announced... Or I guess it would have been this year's, but last year they postponed it. They were like, there's no way with COVID, we got to shut it down. And then it was supposed to be in Australia this year, I believe. And they just sent out a email to whoever's on the world email list. I don't even know how I got on this, but I'm on it. And it got canceled. And there was, talk about what are we doing with funds, and it would have lost money anyway in Australia and blah, 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 blah. And so, the idea of just looking at conventions from maybe a critical eye, not to totally put them down, right? Not to totally bash them, but why do we do this? And if they lose money or what's the purpose, right? I guess the people who say we should still do it if they lose money would say the purpose is not to make money. That's not the goal of a convention. But then what is the goal of a convention? What is the purpose to it whatsoever? I don't
completely know.
Well,
and then there are different conventions. So there's the World Convention, which I'm not overly familiar with where that gets its funding, and is that put on by World Service?
Right.
But like in our case, our region has a convention, has the Free State Regional Convention. Then recently I was at two different what were called traveling conventions, which they travel to different areas and they have some members that have joined together from a host of different areas. They're not necessarily representative of any one area, and they travel around up and down the East Coast, and it's called the East Coast Convention. And they I forget how they do it. They have a bidding process to see which area is going to host it each time, and you can put in a bid, and then there's some people
vote
on that. Yeah, it sounded very similar to that, and you can watch a presentation where they, you know, make their pitch.
Wow.
And what their theme's going to be and all that stuff.
It's a little weird.
Yeah, it's very weird.
It doesn't feel NA-ish.
No, it's but so what they do though is with all the money raised from the convention, any profits go and so the East Coast Convention, what little bit I know of it, is they tend to try to do it on a very low budget. Like they say that up front. Like this is not we're staying in the Ritz-Carlton, you know what I mean, in some plush thing.
Sleeping in
they
cots.
They typically do it in college campuses or places that they can get reduced or cheaper rates. And any proceeds generated from that go to buying basic techs that they put into jails and institutions. So they typically do make a profit, take those profits and buy literature and donate that literature to jails and institutions. There is another convention that I recently heard of, the Unity is a Must convention, and they are doing the same thing. You know, there, and this is not necessarily just the East Coast. It's people from all over Ohio and Michigan and all over the place. And they do the same thing. They have this convention. Whatever money they make from the convention goes to buying literature to put into jails and institutions.
And that sounds pretty noble, right? Yeah. Like, that sounds like it's a nice thing to do to try to raise money. It's like a bake sale to raise money for, you know, your community or something. Like that's a positive. But I guess my experience with most conventions is not that. It's, you know, the world puts on conventions. A lot of regions have decided to put on conventions over the years. Some areas feel big enough that they put on their own conventions. I think we've had a couple of areas around in our region that have put on their own conventions. Baltimore, for one, and I believe the Northeast Freedom area has had its own convention for a while.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then I've seen, like, you know, a few areas team up and do a convention that's not the regional convention. Like, so there's an idea to doing this, right? And there is sometimes a lot of hubbub, right? Like, how nice are the accommodations? How nice is the place we're staying at? Do they have fancy dinners? You know, some of these speakers, these main speakers we talked about, get flown in. Like, their ticket prices get paid. Their registration gets paid, their, you know, lodging gets paid, and that's kind of interesting. You know, like, why are we paying to fly in specific people from somewhere else? And, you know, there's debates about all that kind of stuff. Like, why don't we get a local speaker? Well, because we're tired of hearing the local speakers. But at the same time, why are we spending hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars to bring people in to share some message? Like, we could
And what does that say for, you know, anonymity? I mean, it's sad to say, I don't know if sad's the right word, but it's true to say that some people are just better speakers. Like, some people are great at speaking. Like, you go and you hear them and you're just, you know, you're laughing one minute and crying the next, and you leave the whole thing with this renewed sense of of spiritual awakening and a vigor for recovery. I mean, that is a truth that some people are just gifted with that ability. And if you're lucky, that's what your main speakers are at some of these conventions. Right. You know, some of them are somewhat, I'll say, famous or infamous, whatever you want to say, around NA as being these great speakers.
Well, and we talk about, you know, you get on the convention circuit or whatever, right? People who just go a lot of weekends a year from different convention to different convention and share these messages of hope. So maybe the place to start from that, you know, I think we've kind of defined and outlined what conventions look like and how they happen. But like our first experiences with conventions might be a good place. I remember I don't know. I had like 4 months clean, 4.5 months clean, and went to the Ocean City Convention, the big one in Ocean City, Maryland.
What is that convention?
That is put on by the Chesapeake and Potomac region.
CMP region. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
So they put it on out there, and I went, and I didn't know what the hell a convention was. I had 4.5 months clean. My sponsor was just like, you need to go. It's everything. Do it. And I will say, my first time there, I was blown away. Like, it was incredible. Like you talked about, there was a speaker. He shared this incredible message that was like, unlike anything I had ever heard in my typical Tuesday night meeting or whatever it was. And
how much time did you have?
4.5 months.
Okay.
Gotcha. And just the amount of people there was mind blowing. And then they do this like thing where they go through every state and people stand up if they're from that state, and there's all this cheers. And then they do a clean time countdown, which was like so incredible to me, right? They start at like 40 years or something. It might have even been 30 back then. People didn't have 40, but they would start at this upward number, and then they count down every year, and the people who have that time stand up. And you know, by the time you get down to the end of it, it's like everybody is just roaring with applause and cheers. And, you know, there's people with like a day clean that are there, and everybody's chanting, "Keep coming back," and they're giving them a basic text or whatever. It's like wild, right? And all this energy. And I just increased my thirst for recovery for sure.
And I have always felt so bad for that person with the least amount of time there at the convention that's got all those people yelling at them and hug. I mean, in a good way, it's meant in a loving, but gosh, that would, like, I'm a socially anxious person. I don't like being in crowds and big gatherings. And usually when this clean time countdown and all that takes place is right before the main speaker. Yeah. So you typically have
the biggest crowd of the weekend.
The biggest crowd of the weekend, a majority of the people. Some of these conventions are smaller. Some have a few hundred people.
Right.
Some are quite big. That Ocean City one now, I heard one of the last ones was like 12,000 people.
Yeah, they got an overflow room, right?
But even then, even a few years back, it was still several thousand people at that convention. So could you imagine being a person in a room with 3 or 4 1 day clean at this convention, and all these people chanting at you, you know, "Keep coming back." And they like throw napkins at them or something. You know, it's very weird, but that would be so overwhelming. So I always feel so bad for this.
But I wonder, because I've never been that person, but I wonder if that is like the overwhelming experience of like, this is way too much, or if that's the overwhelming experience of like, oh my God, I can feel all the energy and love in this room, and I can't not come back to this place.
Yeah, I'm sure that's unique to the individual, but And I would hope the latter. I would hope that they feel the love and overwhelming support. And, you know, that's the hope anyway.
Well, I can tell you that I left that convention pumped as anything. Like, recovery was going to be my life after that, right? Like, so if the purpose of a convention was to increase, you know, energy and mood and desire for recovery, and, you know, I heard all these new messages, and I bought some of the, I think they were still tapes, maybe they were CDs back then, I don't remember. But like, if that was the goal of the convention, it worked, at least at that point in time in my life. I was like, amazed by it. I couldn't get over how incredible the experience was. What was your first convention experience?
So I had been to different types of conventions before I got into recovery. My parents owned a retail business, and they would have, you know, whatever, luggage conventions and gift conventions. So the idea of what a convention was is like a long weekend centered around a specific topic, like that just was like, I understood what that was. So when people talked about a recovery convention, I'm like, oh, I can have a pretty good idea of what that is.
Right.
It was slightly different than but it's the same idea.
They didn't have a bunch of booths with meetings telling you they had the best meeting.
Right.
That actually sounds more fun.
But it's a social event as much as it is you're learning to go in there to learn and get educated on different things. And I, being a person that doesn't, I don't like big crowds, I don't like big groups, shied away from going to conventions for years. I think I went to my first convention when I had like 4 years clean. Mm. And people would come back and talk about it. Oh, it's great. And I'd be like, yeah, I bet it is. You know, good for you. Like, I'm so glad you had it. And so when I went to my first convention, I wasn't overwhelmed. And in fact, I remember even now being a little underwhelmed by the clean time countdown and stuff. Mm. I think from hearing people talk about how exciting that was, I was not overwhelmed by maybe because I knew what it was. It didn't catch me off guard. It had been explained to me what was going to happen. So the magic was gone. Yeah, the magic was gone. Maybe we're ruining someone else's convention.
Oh my God.
We better shut up. Don't listen if you've never been to a convention.
Whoops, we should have said the disclaimer at the beginning.
But I will say, I did leave with that sense of a renewed vigor for recovery. I heard some amazing speakers. Even to this day, some of the best messages that I've heard and that carry through in my recovery today came from conventions, maybe not necessarily main speakers, but some speakers I heard at different workshops at conventions. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a really great place to get a different version of the message, you know, from the diversity that's in the program.
Right, right. So since that initial experience of the amazing convention I attended with 4.5 months clean, I've had varying experiences. Yeah. And I don't know necessarily that they're all the experience they were based on the convention or where I was at during the convention, like internally. I've found that over time, like when I go back to the same conventions a few times, because I've been to Ocean City a few times, Free State Regions I've been to a few times in different locations, it's almost like the more times I go there, the less magic it holds for me. Hmm. I have gone to some out-of-state conventions, which are a little different to me, at least. So when I go to a convention that's local, it's neat to see a lot of people I know and love, and yet at the same time, it's almost overwhelming because I know so many people at the convention that it's like I don't really get to put the time into the conversations with everybody that I would like to. It's like, oh, I saw so-and-so, but they were running to this, and I was running to that, or I was already talking to this person, and I just got to give them a hug, and I didn't really get to, like, I haven't seen them for years. I'd like to really sit and chat with them for a little bit. Whereas out-of-state conventions have felt cool because it's kind of like I've gone in groups, and so we've already had the camaraderie of our group there. It didn't feel lonely because I didn't know anybody. But I also felt like I had the ability to kind of disappear from the convention when that felt like the right thing for me, right? Like, yeah, I had a meeting, and then I kind of just feel like I want to go back to my room for a little while and not talk to anybody, and I don't feel guilty about that in any way when I don't know anybody. Like, nobody's like, well, where the fuck did you go? It's just, I go wherever I want, right? But it has been weird. And I think the amount of time and my focus has changed my experience with them too, right? Because early on, you know, I don't want to present this the wrong way, but conventions are kind of known for like hooking up with people at times when you're newer in recovery and being a place to participate in, you know, checking out people that you're interested in or whatever. They have dances and stuff sometimes, comedy shows, whatever. And it's an environment to do that. And like, as my focus in my life has changed from I'm not a young guy out on the prowl or whatever we'd like to call it, right? That doesn't do a whole lot for me. So like, I don't go to dances or any of that. And I'm kind of there. If I go, I'm there to hear a few meetings, not really to participate in any of the other extracurriculars, we'll call them. So what about you? What have you found with your experiences?
Yeah, it's interesting. My wife and I have completely different takes on going to conventions, which has been interesting over the years. Most of the time, she's more like you, where she will go and hit a few meetings, but really use that as an opportunity for what I would say is almost downtime. Like, it's almost like an excuse to get away and have a nice relaxing weekend and hit a few meetings and just take it easy. And me, I always feel like if I go to this convention and I pay to register that I want to go to like 17 meetings in a 24-hour period, plus the main events, plus all the shows. And like, I want to do everything. Like, I feel like, well, I'm paying for this. I'm here. I might as well do as much as I possibly can. Part of that is, I think my social anxiety, hiding in a meeting every hour is much more comfortable than like chilling out around the area trying to either talk to new people or talk to people that I don't know.
Right.
It's way easier to go to meetings because then you're not expected to talk to anybody. You just go in and listen, and then that meeting's over and you run to the next one because they're usually real close back to back. So you got 15 minutes to get a drink and pee and hit the next meeting. So some of that, I think, is my way of trying to hide from the social anxiety of being around thousands of people that are all in recovery. I know for my wife, she's always described like being around a bunch of people in NA and feeling like they're like her brothers and sisters and feeling this camaraderie. And I guess my natural state, I don't feel that at all. It still feels like a bunch of strangers, people that I don't know, people that I don't necessarily feel safe around. Like, just because they're in recovery, I don't give right. them that pass.
They might try to sell you light bulbs.
And right. And so it's easier to hide in meetings than it is to try to deal with a lot of that social anxiety of being around thousands of people that I don't know.
That's interesting. So I think mine separates from your wife's just a little bit in the sense that, like, I only hit a few meetings, but I'm not spending the rest of the time hanging out around the convention, really. I might peruse the convention a little bit, but a lot of my experience is, well, what else is there to do in this place that I'm at? Because I want to have a vacation as well, right? So, like, in Ocean City, well, let's go mini golfing in the middle of the day. Why not, right? Or, you know, let's go get a cool dinner or a cool lunch. Or I think when we went to North Carolina, we went golfing, like, in the middle of Saturday. So it's not so much like, oh, I don't want to be in the meeting to hang out with these people. It's just like, I want to do something else. This is also time away for me.
Yeah. And not she's very much like that as well. This episode has been brought to you in part by Voices of Hope, Inc., a nonprofit recovery organization made up of people in recovery, family members, and allies. Together, members strive to protect the dignity of those that use drugs and those in recovery by advocating for treatment, harm reduction and support resources, and mentoring. Please visit us at www.voicesofhopemaryland.org and consider donating to our cause.
So I think maybe now we can delve into some of the logistical problems or criticisms of the convention world that at least I'm aware of or have come to. One of my earliest thoughts about criticizing conventions was definitely the money, right? Like, and I've started to see in a couple of conventions this is being adjusted. So now it's more of like a pay scale of how much clean time do you have and you pay based on that, which I thought was kind of fascinating, right? Like, if you're in your first 2 years, the tickets are $10. And if you're, you know, have more than, if you're between 2 and 10, it's 20. And if you're above 10, it's 30. Like, I thought that was kind of fascinating, right?
Yeah, that's interesting.
And probably like 6 months or less, it's free or something. I don't know the exact scales, but I just found that aspect to be really fascinating to me because if they are all $35 at the door or whatever, you know, $25 if you pre-register. Yeah, I've always been bothered by that. Like, well, what does the person with no money do? And I get it. Like, there's always that if they show up, somebody will pay or we're not going to turn them away. But yeah, why do we? Like, who shows? Like, and that's for me. I know other people don't mind this. I'm not showing up at a $35 event if I don't have $35.
Right.
Like, that's right. Just my own shit, but.
Well, I've heard, so because I've known people that have went to conventions and I've heard people say things to the effect of, well, I just came to hit one meeting or I just came to hear the main speaker or I came to support my friend and I wasn't spending, you know, $40 or $60 just right. for that, you know. They don't have a sliding scale, like I'm yeah. only going to hit two meetings. It's all or nothing.
Right, right. No, and I've felt that way too. Like, so, you know, we talk about the money we spend to fly in main speakers and everything. I got asked to share at an area convention at a workshop, which is what they call the littler meetings around. And I paid $35 to get into the convention to share the workshop. And then that was the only meeting I was at the entire weekend. Like, I had a busy weekend mm-hmm. and I showed up to be of service, but I paid $35 to share a meeting, basically. It was like, well, that doesn't feel right at all.
So my wife got asked to be a main speaker at a convention recently, and they didn't pay for our hotel, or we paid for our registration, and no one even took us out to dinner.
Wow.
So we got nothing for free.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily true. We volunteered to pay for our stuff. We're not in a financial situation that we couldn't afford, you know, whatever it was, the $100 for the registration and
right.
hotel room. But yeah, I was like thinking, but it was a small convention and it was their first year. So
I guess, you know, charging for the convention would really, again, fall back to like, what is the goal or motive of putting on a convention, right? Is it to increase the atmosphere of recovery in your general area or the, you know, enthusiasm about recovery? And if that's the case, why would we want people who can't afford it to not come? That seems kind of off.
Yeah, and I would say that's been a general issue in our events, even at a local level. Like, what is the purpose of events? You know, why do we have them? Me personally, I've always been of the mindset that events are to promote unity and connection and a sense of, you know, belonging and inclusion, and that making money shouldn't be the goal. But at the same time, you have to weigh that out, you know, against, is that the best use of our funds? Is that the best use of our money? I mean, you hope that the goal, I've heard that I always like the best with events, and I'll carry this over to conventions from what little I know, is, you know, worst case you break even, you know, best case you make some money, but the worst case is you try to break even.
I think the idea for events does carry into like showing people who are new, this is in my head at least, that new people get the idea that there is fun without the use of drugs, right? There is fun in this other lifestyle. Like, I didn't think that was possible when I was considering getting free from drug use. And yet, it was some of the examples of like, oh, we play softball here?
Right.
Like, oh, we do these other things?
Camping trips, yeah.
Right,
like
that's
that.
Pretty cool. And and I will say that my first experience with a convention was a lot of fun, right? So it did feel like learning that there was fun on the other side in this new way of life.
Well, and I've talked to people that their whole recovery is based around conventions. That's what they do. Huh. Like, they don't, they get in these convention committees or they become a part of these conventions. And you know, I know these traveling conventions specifically, like, that's their whole social network and what they do for recovery is, you know, they don't necessarily go to meetings outside of conventions. Or people, I don't know if you have seen people like this, but there are people that I see at conventions that's all they do is go to conventions. Huh. Like, they only go to conventions.
Wow.
Yeah, it's weird.
That is weird. So, So you look at the idea of being of service and you meet other people generally who are committed to the program and are serious about their recovery a lot of times. At least I think that's how it has been. The people you're describing makes me question that a little bit, right? Like, but I mean, to form a network, to form a new community, that's probably not a terrible idea, to be on a committee of some sort and getting to know people and working closely with them. You know, other criticisms that have come up along the way about conventions is the idea of making money and what, why are they outside of, you know, like, so I've had been in some heated area service meetings where the area body is like, well, we don't think this should happen, and the people, the convention board, or maybe the person who leads the convention board or is there to represent them, kind of says, you don't tell us what to do. We're an outside institution. Like, you don't run us. And I'm like, do they not? Didn't they, like, create you at some point? Like, that's kind of fucking weird.
Yeah, they definitely don't serve the groups. I know we had an issue, and this goes 10 or more years ago, where for the Free State Convention, they used to do a thing where each different area got tasked with a responsibility for the convention that year. Mm-hmm. And our area had been tasked with speakers. But then when it came right down to it, we didn't just get to pick speakers for the convention. It's like we got to pick out of people that they gave us. And then even out of the people that they gave us, there was still like rules and requirements, like, and I forget what they were, but it's like, the Friday night speaker needs to be someone who's of color or a female. And then the Saturday main speaker needs to be. And so it wasn't even pick a bunch of speakers. It was, here's the speakers you can pick from. And in those, here are the requirements.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was very much like, wait a minute. This doesn't feel like we're not really picking. You've already picked. You're just giving us like three choices for a main speaker. Like,
right.
That was, like, here, you get to pick. Like, and it felt very weird, you know? It was like you said, it didn't feel like we were really a part of that process.
Yeah, and that doesn't fit into how, you know, we understand the service structure works within the program. And I get it. These are outside entities. They're, you know, the convention board or committee is its own incorporated entity. So it does fall outside of our service structure technically, but that just feels and always has felt really, really weird to me that this convention board just kind of does what the fuck it wants and there's no oversight necessarily from the people who it serves. Like, that's strange to me.
Yeah, and that's where it gets, like you say, weird. I don't get it. How do you get to run around and present as Narcotics Anonymous? Because they definitely use the logos and the sayings and our literature and all these things. I mean, they definitely wear that, fly that flag, but then they aren't necessarily answerable, if that's the right word, to the groups. They're not accountable to the groups at all.
Well, and I think that comes into play with some of the criticisms of this World Convention. It's the idea that, yes, we want to be inclusive. Yes, we want to hold this, you know, in places where people would like it to be held. It's not like, oh, you can only hold it in the U.S. because we're the only people that matter. That's not the goal. But if every time you hold it in some other territory or country or state, it doesn't make money and it loses a lot of money, well, maybe we want to rethink this idea of holding it there, right? Like, if you hold it in Brazil and it loses money, and then you're going to, the next time you're like, well, Australia, right? But if most of the people who attend are tied into the United States, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. And so I think that is like part of the criticism is there is no oversight, undersight, whatever you'd like to call it from our service structure. There's no ability for the people to say, we don't want to waste money. Like, it's just kind of told to us where these things are going to be. And there's not a lot of transparency as to how that's decided or who's making those decisions or where the money goes. Like, that's not reported about at the area or the region. Or
well, and all I've ever, the only answers I've ever heard of that is, well, you got to get involved and get involved with the committee and try to get on the board. Like, that's how you change those things. But that sounds crappy. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I can't get on every convention committee.
Well, and so sometimes they do come into area or region and talk about the financial aspect of it, and they'll give reports on it, right? I do think that has happened in my experience, but it's not like a report where you can make any decisions or do anything about it. Like, that's for them to decide, but they'll just tell you, hey, we made $20,000 at this convention. It cost us $18,000 to put on. This $20,000 is going to go to try to make it bigger next year, and we're going to start renting the spot with it. So none of the money seems to go up the ladder. I'm not saying that it never does or that there's never a donation to the next, you know, step of the area or the region or the world or whatever it might be, which is how our money usually flows, which is another probably contestable point for some people. But in general, like, that money gets reinvested. Oh, well, we made $20,000 this year. Next year, we'll try to make $25,000. We'll hold it at an even nicer place. So we're just going to reinvest this money. And again, the goal is not to make money, but what is the goal, and why are we choosing fancier places or bigger places if we're doing just fine the way we are?
Yeah, and I've been to conventions in really nice places, and I've been to conventions in, the one was on a college campus, and we were in dorms, and they were crappy college dorms with like 2-inch mattresses that we paid for. You know, my wife and I paid, and we got two separate rooms because each room only had one little single bed, so you couldn't even necessarily sleep together. Very strange. Yeah.
And it's definitely, you know, why are we doing this? What's the purpose? Like, what would happen if we didn't have conventions? Would recovery suffer? Is it just a gathering? And if it is just a gathering to unite and talk about recovery, then why do we need these fancier accommodations and these, you know, large price tags?
Is there a history, the origin of the first NA convention?
Like, I am sure there is, but I do not know that.
Yeah, some historian knows that.
Right. And charging prices for meetings, like, that seems kind of awkward too. Like, and so one of the things I've seen over the last few years, maybe a little longer, is this idea of like, there's fundraisers for the convention. Like, I don't remember that being a thing when I first got here. There was pre-registration, which, you know, they got pre-registration money, and then that helped them fund putting on the convention. But this is where I start to really get lost, and I've never been on a convention board, so probably somebody has these answers. I do not. But if you made the money you made from last year's convention and that's put into funding this year's convention, then why do you need pre-registration money to fund this year's convention as well? And now, even further, why do we need these fundraising speaker jams and events to fund conventions? Like, why do we keep needing more and more money to fund these conventions when they supposedly made enough last year?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It does seem like a lot of money going around for I don't know what.
Yeah, and that happens a lot, I think. People don't recognize the value of these, like, fundraising events. And is this the best, you know, stewardship of our funds and resources? You know, is there a better way we could be reaching out to people that are in need or people that need help?
Yeah, and we talk about a 12-step program that deals with obsessive and compulsive behaviors, and then you go to a fundraising event, and the way they're mainly raising funds is this big 50-50 raffle for free convention spots, and everybody's gambling. And it's like, is that the healthiest thing we can do? You know, I've heard about the idea that bingo, I think we talked about that when we talked with Lewis for AA, the idea of, like, is bingo gambling, and should that not be an event we put on? So that's, I've never thought of bingo as gambling, by the way.
Me
but
neither.
I could see, I get it. Like, maybe to a gambler, it does feel like gambling. What other criticisms of conventions have you heard along the way?
Oh, one of the things that has always struck me, or I've been consciously aware of, is we have these conventions, and then the way that us as a community conducts ourselves at these places, how we treat the staff, how we treat the facility. You know, are we just leaving trash around?
Yes.
Are we, you know, parking where we're not supposed to be parking and smoking where we're not supposed to be smoking?
Absolutely.
You know, and inappropriate behavior at the fucking pool or at the restaurant.
Lots of fucks being thrown around where other families
are. Language that is totally inappropriate when you're in a convention center that's in a hotel around other families. You know, and just recognizing that, again, even though, yes, we're having a convention, like, we are still representing Narcotics Anonymous, and we are still, you know, especially when we're at conventions wearing badges that say we're a part of that convention, and then we're in the restaurant of the hotel cussing out the wait staff because we had to wait 10 minutes for our coffee. Like, you know, that stuff has always really bothered me that people are not aware of how they're representing Narcotics Anonymous in those big settings.
Yeah, we talked about that in the tradition of, like, when you wear an NA or any 12-step program's memorabilia or merchandise on you, you become, you know, an accidental representative of that program. And not only do people have the necklaces, what say in their, you know, a badge that they're welcome there, but a lot of people choose that opportunity to wear their NA merchandise because why not? It's an NA convention. It's a perfect spot. And yeah, we probably are leaving a bad taste in the mouth of people who witness us. I mean, if you think about the idea that, like, for us, it's kind of a time to kick back and not focus so much on how we're behaving. It's more like a laid back, I don't want to say a party atmosphere, but kind of a party celebration, right? And
so we were recently at this convention. And we were at the restaurant in the hotel having breakfast. And I can't swear these people were part of the NA convention.
Oh, they were.
But there was a couple that came down in their bathrobes to eat dinner in the restaurant in their bathrobes.
Oh, like, fancy.
Yeah, right. And it just was like, we just laughed. I mean, would you really think, like, yeah, I'm just going to go down to breakfast in my bathrobe? And
No, I wouldn't. But thinking of this idea of, like, you know, we just talked about it in the work episode of, like, people knew where a lot of enthusiasm comes from. They're going to feel this is a time to get a little wild. And that wild behavior is not going to be the great representation of, you know, our program that we hope to give off to the rest of the world when they enact with us. And here they are, like you said, trash everywhere, people parking illegally, trying to get into a meeting. And yeah, that's probably, I know.
Smoking in guest rooms.
That is definitely what happens.
Vaping all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm guilty of that now. I'm vaping now. I think that's an interesting thing that, like, I have not thought a whole lot of, honestly, but it's probably a very true one. And so I know of conventions that have changed locations, and it's not because they outgrew the spot they were in.
Right.
Like, I know ones who have outgrown the spots they're in, but I also know ones who have changed. And I don't want to swear that I've heard that it's because of our behavior or what we did last year there, but I can almost guarantee that it's because people don't want to deal with the madness that comes with holding a convention at their location.
Yeah. So and it's just, it's one of those things that's always bothered me, and I am very, very aware of it when I'm there, you know, so when I see people just leaving their trash sitting around on tables or, you know, doing these things, it's like, it's bothersome.
Right. You don't have that like entitled view of like, well, we're keeping people jobs by doing that.
No.
Somebody gets to clean up that.
No. I feel like we have so much stigma and so much bad, you know, history to overcome that if anything, you know, we should be trying to set a better precedent. We should be trying to go, in my view, above and beyond to show like, hey, we are not these fucking animals that people portray us to be.
Oh my God, that's totally how we look.
No, so that's the worst part.
Yeah, should we just like meet in the woods and not have any outside people around us? Maybe that would be... It does kind of break anonymity.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, like anybody that sees you at that convention with your badge on knows what you're about.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Never thought about that either.
Well, and I believe it comes down like most things in our program to the senior members being able to conduct the right attitude, portray the right message to the people that we know. If we see people that, and again, I'm not the person that's going to run around and police the convention and start yelling at people I don't know that they shouldn't throw their cigarette butts on the ground or whatever else. But if it's people that I know or someone that I sponsor, you know, obviously I want to be aware of how I'm conducting myself and what, am I sneaking extra people into my room? Am right. I... You know, leaving my shit all over the place? Am I smoking where I shouldn't be smoking? Like, you know, how am I conducting myself? And then am I creating the right, you know, attitude and carrying that through to my sponsees or people that I know?
And that's interesting, right? Because how many people there don't have sponsors? And how many... I feel like this, what you're talking about, almost to me ties into the whole problem that was existing in my previous area where the proportion of people, the influx of new people into meetings or places in the locality was way more than the amount of senior members' ability to help or carry. Like when I got here, there was 30 people in the meeting and, you know, 25 of them had more than 6 months and were invested or at least seemed that way. And those attitudes of those 25 kind of set the tone for the other five new people in the room. Whereas, you know, before I moved up here, it was 55 people and maybe seven of us had, you know, more than 6 months. So it's like 48 people in recovery houses in the vicinity who, and they're setting the tone for the meeting because they are the majority now. And that's the tone of, you know, being on your phone or flirting with people or doing whatever you wanted during the meeting or walking in and out a lot during the meeting to take phone calls. Like, it's just hard to do. And I feel like if that's a microcosm of what's going on at these conventions, how can the senior members set a tone when they're not the majority anymore? They're just the people putting it on.
I would say my experience, at least judging from the clean time countdown, is there always seems to be more people with years clean than there are with months and days clean at conventions.
Really? It's interesting. I wonder if that's because all the people with little time just don't stand up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not
so low self-esteem, they're not going to stand up.
I'm not going to do that. So it's interesting. So what do you think? I mean, are conventions, quote-unquote, worth it? Like, I would say at this point in my life, I just don't know, right? Like, I really don't know. I don't know that the added benefit of them really is doing something that can't be done in other ways. And outweighing the drawbacks of them for me. Like, I don't really want to pay to go to meetings. Would I go to conventions outside of my area still? I probably would, but mostly as an excuse to, like, get a few guys together and drive to another state and hang out for the weekend, really. That would be, like, my main goal. Would we hit a couple meetings? Sure, but it's more for hanging out with people and an excuse to do that than anything.
Yeah, that's true for me as well. It's usually an excuse to get away, to go do something with some friends or be, you know, have a week, basically a recovery weekend, you know, than it is to support a convention. But
and I could, I mean, really, you know, it's kind of like, and I do the same thing sometimes with meetings. I'm like, hey, I'll get a few guys together. We'll go out to a meeting and then we'll go get something to eat. Like, I don't know that us going to that meeting really provides anything except something to laugh about at the meeting when we talk about some stupid chair or whatever, right? Like, we could just literally get together and go to the meeting or get together and go bowling or get together and do something else that I feel like would serve exactly the same purpose and possibly better. I feel like we're just tied to this idea of this is what we get together around, but it could be anything. And I'm feeling the same about a convention. Like, we could plan a trip to another state just to go to another state and do anything. We could go golfing. We could go to a water park. Like, we don't have to fucking go to a convention, but that seems like the viable excuse for some reason.
Yeah. That's not a bad excuse, though. It's kind of fun. Usually I hear good things.
So what, I mean, if you were, I don't want to say in charge of this region, but if you were casting a vote, if our region had a general, you know, I'm going to put this straw poll out there and figure out who actually is interested in holding conventions in this area and thinks they're worthwhile. Which way do you vote?
Before I could give a, what I would say, my honest vote, I would want to know, where do they get their money? And does it ever come from any of the groups individually or whatever? But in general, I would probably vote for them. I think
would you?
There's, I think there's a purpose behind them. I think there's a vibe, and it's not for me. It's not my thing, but there's definitely people that love that whole atmosphere, that love the whole experience of conventions, and good for them. You know, that's part of the diversity of things.
What's the difference between having a convention and having a speaker jam, which is just usually like, you know, 4 to 8 hours filled with speakers and doesn't cost anything to get into?
Right. Well, and I would say a convention usually has a little bigger feel to it. Like, and there's usually, like you've mentioned, there's usually like a dance and a banquet dinner, you know, a fancy dinner and things like that.
But don't we also have those at other times too? Like, we have dances outside of conventions and we have banquet dinners or something like it. I've seen them for at least New Year's.
Occasionally, yeah.
I'm just curious, like, could we just do these things in other ways that don't seem to cost so much and also provide the same thing? I went to a speaker jam one time. I stopped in. It was in D.C., I think. And it, on the flyer for it, it said mini convention. And it was like convention main speakers that were at the speaker jam, and it was pretty goddamn packed. It was a lot of people, not right. Thousands for sure, but it was like, oh, this is free.
Right.
Why do I need to do a convention that costs money for a whole weekend when I could? I don't know. I'm thinking I might vote. Why? Like, I just, right. Just why? I don't really, even with that really good experience and some other positive experiences I've had from conventions, I just don't know that I see them being really viable or worth what we're putting into them. Like, it's a, I mean, if it's making $20,000, like, what else could we do with $20,000? It might be more beneficial.
So the biggest, I guess, pro I could say for them is there's almost, and now I don't know about the losing money part, but there's any of them that I've ever been to, they seem to be pretty damn packed. There seems to be a lot of people there. So yeah. People either must like it or want to go there. I mean, yeah. It must be something people want, because they don't, there definitely doesn't seem to be a lack of attendance.
No, and I would agree with you there. And you know, the ones that do get lack of attendance end up folding, and that's kind of the way I think it's supposed to go. You know, you have those people running around the area announcing the meeting that needs support because it's been around for 30 years or whatever. And I'm like, I guess that meeting doesn't need to be there. I don't think we need to beg for support for a certain meeting. That's just not my opinion.
Yeah. I think the bigger problem with most of them is that we have typically what we have in Narcotics Anonymous is it's just a bunch of addicts trying to get together to do stuff. Mm. And not all of them are the best stewards of money or make maybe the best business decisions or ethical decisions. And yeah, it's a, maybe, you know, mismanagement or focusing on the wrong, what I would call the wrong things.
Yeah, like trying to make it fancier or more, you know, plush or nicer, and kind of getting away from the purpose of like, hey, we're just here to get together and be united.
But even in that, I've heard people talk about in our area, like, why don't we put on an event that is nicer? Like, instead of having some Valentine's dinner in some church basement, like, why don't we put on a nice fucking dinner? Like, I'll pay $150 to go out to a really fine catered event, because that's what I would like to do in recovery with some speakers and things. So there's a, can be a desire for that as well.
Well, but does that break the unity, right? Does that deviate, like, that skews to the people who can afford to do something like that and takes away the unity of, like, we're all the same, don't you think? Like, it's not like I can show up at the meeting with the rich CEO and the judge and the lawyer and, you know, I work at Burger King and I feel equal. Like, now it's, oh, well, these other people get to attend these nicer, costlier events and I could never do anything like that. Now they're separating.
I mean, I would think it depends on how often you're doing those things. Mm-hmm. Like, if you do that all the time, then probably not. But if you did once a year, like, we have a once a year, you know, nice thing, or every now and again, nice event. I mean,
see, I don't know. I definitely stand on the other side of this, and this is slightly outside of the convention realm, but same kind of idea. If you're going for richer or fancier or nicer, like, they put on some supposedly pretty fancy New Year's event in my old area at one point, and I was like, really questioned it. I'm like, to me, the point of events is to show the new person that there's still ways to have fun and to be inclusive to that. Like, that's the whole goal, right? If you want to go to a fancy New Year's event, well, go the fuck to a fancy New Year's event. Like, that doesn't need to be an NA thing.
But most of those aren't centered around recovery or abstinence or, well, you know, you're going to go to those that are, people are going to be drinking.
Yeah, you know? And I get that. I get the drinking aspect, right? So maybe that's a bad example for that point of it, but I guess there was this thing, like, they wanted to make it like any other event that looked like that, just minus the alcohol. And maybe, I guess, that is what some people want. But for me, I was like, that just seems totally contrary to what we're doing here. Like, if you want a nice fancy dinner on Valentine's Day, get together with your group of friends and go to a nice fancy dinner for Valentine's Day. Like, that doesn't seem to fit into the purpose of NA events, which, or 12-step events.
Would it be similar to, and because this is a problem I guess we always have with events in our area, would that get similar to, like, I don't know, paintball was one we did that a certain amount of people loved it and thought it was great. And then a bunch of other people were like, that's fucking stupid and a waste of time and money, because who wants to go out and get shot by paintballs? Or like a canoeing or outdoor camping or maybe a whitewater rafting trip, like any of those are, well, camping probably cheaper, canoeing probably a little more expensive, whitewater rafting probably a little pricey. You're not going to be able to do that for, right, you know, $10 a person or whatever. But does that mean we shouldn't have those types of events either? Because not everybody likes the outdoors, you know?
I don't know.
Most people don't want to be out in the woods.
So with things that, I guess, in my mind, and of course this is just one guy's opinion, obviously, but in my mind, when they're moderately affordable for your average middle-class person that's in recovery, I hope that's an average middle-class person in recovery. I hope we're not all poor or anything. You know, if the ticket's $30, I would gladly, if I'm going and I knew somebody who didn't have the money, I'd gladly front their ticket. I'd pay for that. That's not a big deal to me. So I hope with events like that, that that's done. If you're talking about a $150 dinner, I am probably not buying that for any motherfucker except myself, right? And my wife, obviously. But I just think there's a price range there where you take out the ability to also include others, right?
And well, you're going to have a limited number of tickets anyway.
Yeah, but it's one thing to me to have an event that people just aren't interested in, like, oh, I just don't like paintball. But to have an event where the resources don't allow a certain demographic to go, that kind of gets into a struggle area in my head of, like, I don't think that serves our 12-step program's purpose. And again, that is my opinion. Like, if they hold a fancy dinner, what did I do? I bitched about it and didn't go. right? Like, they still held it. That's what people seem to want. But I thought the concept was really exclusive, and that's not what I think our events are supposed to be.
Exclusivity.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. That's just, again, that's my opinion, but I wonder if conventions are the same thing. Like, if you don't live near it and you got to pay for the hotel room, and you, it's a $500 weekend easily, right?
Yeah, it gets pricey. And you're paying for all your meals.
Is that too exclusive for new people? Yeah, you can get new people a free registration. That's easy enough. But where are they going to stay?
Right. Are they going to eat?
Right. So it's yeah, I don't know. I think I lean towards that. I at least don't think they keep in mind what the primary purpose of 12-step events is, in my mind. I don't even know if that's really our primary purpose for our events. I have no idea.
And maybe that's why they're an outside entity or whatever, because they don't have to. You would hope they would still try to adhere to those principles.
I think sometimes, and this happens in our inside entities and in the special events and everything, we just lose track of what the goal is, or we don't know the goal. I mean, do you think anybody in our area actually knows the goal of special events as laid out for what it's supposed to be? I know what I think it is.
Or, yeah, maybe they have a different opinion of what they think that goal should be versus what I think it should be.
Right. So we get wrapped up in like, well, what do we want?
And we elect them as the chair. And then, well, wait a minute. We elected you, but you don't share my vision. So,
right. So, I mean, what events would I hold if I was special events chair? I would probably do stuff like paintball or, you know, laser tag or things that seemed like they included movement or fun, maybe yoga, maybe softball, right? I would do these kind of things. I would never put on a dance. Why? Because I don't fucking like dances, right? Does that mean that dances are bad? No, but it just serves no purpose for me. I feel like people don't want to do that because I don't want to do that, right? But yeah, I would hope that whoever we're putting in these positions, we do remind and keep in mind the idea of like, what is our goal? Is it just let me put on things that I want to do?
Right.
That's fine, I guess, if that's what your goal is. But to me, the goal is to show newer members that there's fun, and newer members don't have money to contribute to that fun. So it's got to be cost effective. Hmm. I don't know. Anything else about conventions?
No. If you've never been, check one out. See what you think.
Yeah, forget all about the clean time countdown thing. Doesn't exist. Be surprised. Yeah, so go out there, check out a convention for yourself, get your own opinion of it, and have a good week.
Oh. I did have one other thing, and I don't even know this. Do you know, does like AA have conventions like this? Do other 12-step fellowships have conventions like this?
So I am speaking and not knowing for sure here, but I am pretty sure AA does.
Okay.
And I know some of the S programs have some form of conventions, and they're not put on anywhere near as frequently or as often. And I can't imagine they walk around with badges that say like sex addicts on them. That just seems like something
other people
that would not
in the hotel
happen.
Preying on them.
Right. But yeah, there are these convention type things, whether they call them conventions or not. There are these things, and I've heard an Al-Anon speaker from one, so they have them too.
Okay.
So, yeah, this must be like a universal thing that goes everywhere.
Okay, it is universal. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
All right. Yep. So, go out there, check one out for yourself, form your own opinions, and have a great week. Did you like this episode? Share it with people you think might get something out of it. Check out the rest of our episodes at recoverysortof.com. Also, while you're there, you can find ways to link up with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, YouTube, anything. We're always looking for new ideas. Got an idea you want us to look into? Reach out to us.